Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the All Things Georgia podcast presented by UGASports.com. I'm your host, Paul Meharry, joined alongside me, as always, Andy Stowe and Eddie from Ackworth. Got a lot to talk about tonight, so we won't keep you too long with our pregame speech here. But as always, let us know where you're watching from. Shout it out. Put it in the comment section. We'll shout you out. And as always, your comments, they help move the show forward. So put them in there. Let us know what you want to talk about. And another thing, guys, there's a link in the description. If you want to join the show, we're looking forward to James Caraway joining us from a different part of his house tonight, I'm hoping.
In the tub. He better be in the tub tonight.
Yeah, he said he would. So we'll see. But guys, we appreciate you watching so much, and we'll just jump right into it. Before we do that, though, as we always do, I feel like I've said as always five times. So my bad. Okay. Andy Stowe, and we were just talking about before the show stuff to say or things that we say too often, and I say that too often. Andy, how's your weekend been, brother?
It's been pretty good. I actually found out my nephew's working at a restaurant, so I went and saw him tonight. So I went
nice.
And dinner at his. He's 15, so yeah, his first job. So yeah, he's
bus boy.
He's a food runner, bus boy type thing.
Yo, yeah. Oh, geez, that's brutal. My son did that. That's awful work.
But lemon pepper wings. Yeah, lemon pepper wings. So yeah. Got home about, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes ago. So yeah, went and saw Hal and had some wings. So hey, can't complain.
Nice. What's up, Eddie?
Oh, pretty good weekend. Beautiful weekend. Did a lot of yard work like you did, Paul. My back's hurting right now, but that's okay. It's worth it. And I'll just say this off the start. NC State started the ACC tournament 17-14, had zero shot to win it. They won five in a row, won the damn thing, are going to the big dance. Where's that for Georgia? Can we just have one run? And I don't want to hear about Dennis Felton did it during a tornado. Just please, God, give us something like that. Something to be excited about in the spring, please.
Well, did y'all watch the Florida-Auburn game?
No, not a bit.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't watch it, but I heard the Florida big man broke his leg.
It was a brutal injury, like the Louisville kid, Atlanta kid, right?
Ugh. So hope he's doing all right. I know he's not going to be able to play. Speaking of basketball, you guys just segued right into it. We'll keep the
that's what a good host does, right?
Exactly. There we go.
We'll top spot. Move him up.
Yeah, we'll keep the hopes alive for Georgia basketball. If you're listening to this as the podcast on Monday morning, you probably already know this. If you're watching it right now, you're wondering, but it sounds like without any, you know, hiccups or anything like that, Georgia will be in the NIT. Which for the longest time when I was a young lad, I thought meant not in tournament. It actually is the National Invitation Tournament. 32 teams, guys. So if you don't know how this works, it's been a long time since Georgia's been in it. I want to say 2017 was the last time they were in the NIT. I was a Mark Fox coach team, so it takes you back a few coaches there. The home team gets to host. So if you're one of the top four seeds in each region, you get to host the first round. And then obviously if you continue to win and you're like the one or two seed, then you get to get home field advantage, you know, home field court, home court, all the way to the final four, which will be at Hinkle Fieldhouse this year, April 2nd and April 4th. Curious. I know, Eddie, you said you're not going to watch last week. Has that changed a little bit? Have you softened your heart a little bit?
I just don't have any interest. I'm sorry. It's just, it doesn't move the meter for me. I understand it's more basketball. We get to watch these kids one more time. Mike White gets to coach these kids one more time.
You get more practices too.
Practices. Okay. Well, you know what, Paul? They can practice without the NIT. They could do that if they chose to do that. I mean, if they really wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
I mean, what does this do for us? I mean, okay, we get another home game. You get another home game. I'll give you that. The students and all that, great atmosphere at Stegman, but this has nothing to do with next year, and that's what people are saying. We're building momentum for next year. No, you're not, because the team is going to be completely different next year than what you're looking at now. So it has nothing, much like Kirby says, every year is completely different from the one past, right? The Orange Bowl win last year has nothing to do with what we're doing in spring practice now. Nothing, okay? So I cannot get excited about my basketball team backing in, and that's what they did. They backed into the NIT to play for 69th in the country. Sorry.
So the Dogfather says your team must be all caps invited to this tournament. It is much more prestigious than the NCAA tournament. Dogfather obviously has his sarcasm shoes on as he's watching the show.
Where do you get sarcasm shoes? I need those.
Party City, I think they sell some sarcasm shoes. But yeah, James Caraway, he's here. Hopefully he's getting ready and getting in the tub.
My man.
He said couldn't pay to watch the NIT.
Yep.
Garrett, on the other hand, is super pumped.
I know. He said that.
Where you at, Andy?
Well, look at Garrett's next comment. And that's kind of where I see it. It's like, okay, if you can go win a couple of these games, use it for a springboard. And like you said, I know this year doesn't have anything to do with next year, but when you go into the offseason with a bad taste in your mouth, it's not as good. So maybe there can be some momentum. Maybe the recruits will say, hey, I do want to go there. I don't know. We didn't go to the NIT last year, so maybe this is one little step above. Now, I know.
I really believe in this. My cynical thinking. I think the only momentum you get out of this tournament is if you win the damn thing. If you win the whole NIT tournament,
yeah,
okay, I'll grant you that. If you go in and win next week and then lose, no one's going to give a crap. Sorry.
Yeah, I think if you get to the – I think just a little step further, but, yeah, if you get to the Final Four, if you make it to Hingle Fieldhouse, I think that it could potentially bring you some momentum. Now, if you lose that first game,
would it say Tuesday or Wednesday when they're going to play? That's going to be tough.
Yeah. I do like this. Dogfather's comment says, I'm excited for a kid like Thomason who pulled up stakes to come down here as a leader of this team. He does want to play another time with his brothers here in Athens and you know, fair on him. Thomas T-Bone says, go Dogs. What's up, Thomas T-Bone? Hope you had a nice steak tonight, brother. Hope you're all right. Just Peachy says, I'm never going to crap on a Dog victory watching us over on X. We appreciate you. Yeah. You're in the same boat as Garrett Key. Garrett's not going to crap on a victory. And then Garrett, of course, has to, dear God, brother, there's no shot. You guys want to see what James Caraway just popped in.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is a home run.
Can we have naked dudes on this? I guess.
The bubbles are placed rightly so, right?
Oh, yeah. You couldn't pay me to watch the NIT, but a lot of people would be paying to watch this right now.
That's unbelievable. Totally stepped up.
No NIT, but the DIC maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. Where's the rubber ducky? We got to see that because I know it's somewhere. Oh, okay, it's behind you.
I want to see his ducky. You can look at his ducky later. I'm not looking at a ducky. No.
Yeah, that, by far, you stepped up. You hit the home run, man. Absolutely hit the home run here, James. This is your show.
Yeah, really. It's a James Caraway show now.
And I've lost my train of thought here. We can move on from basketball because I know James doesn't want to talk about basketball. But, James, I know that you can't be more excited than you are right now being in that bathtub and thinking about Kirk Cousins being the Falcons' next quarterback.
Oh, just gets me going.
Yeah. Andy, I know you've always wanted to host this show. Take it over, bud.
I don't know if I should hold my hand over so I can.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of that way too.
All right, James, with the rubber ducky and all of those special things you got going on over there with the Coors Lights, looking like you're just in rare form. So tell us about Kirk Cousins, 4 years, $180 million, or tell us about Justin Fields, the fourth and the fifth or whatever round. So go ahead.
It was a sixth, wasn't it?
Yeah. Go on it.
I love Kirk, that deal. It's more of a three-year deal. You can cut him after the second one, but it's great. Guy, he needs to win two playoff games. He needs to win at least two playoff games. I lean three, but two playoff games to call it a success.
Okay. I want to interrupt you right there. I'm glad you said that because I think a lot of people are not looking at it that way, but that's the way I see it too. For him, he's got to go win a few playoff games while Paul's up here about to have a heart attack and die. So, yes, I'm with you. He needs to win a few playoff games, and it'll be money well spent.
And then Fields, I tried to tell you guys that Fields does not know how to read defense. The NFL knows it. And I mean, I never felt more justified in saved tweets than going back on the people saying we need to off. Kuiper said they're going to give up the top 10 pick.
First round pick. He said number eight. Yeah.
So you get Kirk Cousins, and those dominoes fell rather quick. And of course, in Falcons fashion, We are getting investigated for illegal tampering, of course. Yeah. It was weird because if you listen to Kirk Cousins' press conference, he kind of gives it away, right?
He admitted it.
It's like, man, once he stepped down, I'm sure somebody from the PR department was like, what were you, did you get too comfortable up there? Like,
yeah, he did,
you know, and I guess he did, you know, because obviously this stuff came out and you're just kind of sitting there going, whoa, you know, like, and I don't think the Falcons aren't the only ones that are being investigated. The Eagles are as well with Saquon Barkley. So the last time this happened, and I've heard about it all over talk radio this week, the Chiefs with Jeremy Maclin, and they lost a third round pick because of it.
But to be fair, that was the most extreme penalty handed out. Usually it's just a fine and you move on, right? So, maybe it's just a fine and we move on. A third round draft pick would be devastating for the Falcons. I'll say it right now.
Especially since it was leaked out because of your quarterback talking in a press conference. You know, it's not from something else. It's your quarterback talking in a press conference.
And also, one more thing, Paul. It's not the Pitts contact. It's the trainer contact, right? That's the one that's in trouble. They're in trouble over.
Because I think that they were like, you can't – they were trying to get his medicals. Obviously, they were trying to get his medicals before – like, and we made a joke with this last week, guys. Like, the – what is it? Legal tampering on Monday to Wednesday? Come on. If you think that the Falcons weren't talking to Kirk Cousins the day after the season ended and were like, hey, man, what do you need? You know, what are you looking for?
Hey, they were the Falcons. How about every team in the NFL doing the same damn thing?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly the same thing.
I was just saying the Falcons just to be generic, but you have multiple guys that have been talking to multiple teams. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you can't say the quiet part out loud, right? Basically, you can't do that, and that's what it seems to happen. So we'll monitor that, see what happens there. But yeah, like you said, James, Justin Fields going for a 6th round pick. It seems like, and Eddie, I don't want to throw you under the bus because you wanted Fields, did you not?
But to be clear, I always said a 3rd round pick. I never said a 2nd or the 1st. I said a 3rd round pick. That's what I wanted to do.
You were even on Twitter saying maybe a 2nd round pick.
I said if that was the going rate, you got to do it. Because, again, look at this contract Kirk Cousins got. 4 years, $180 million. Would you have given him that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Every
that's
day.
That's the going rate, though, right?
That's the going rate.
So that was my thing. You can go back. Remember when we were having to pick guys, I was like, I'll take Fields because of because it won't cost him any money. But I never cared one way or the other. I think Kirk Cousins is a way better quarterback, but it's the going rate. If it was taking, you know, if Justin Fields, if you get him, if it was the 2nd round pick was the going rate and they said, hey, this is the guy we want. Okay. But again, I didn't think 4 years and $180 million was going to happen, but that's the going rate. So, you know, it is what it is. They paid. I think the Falcons decided Kirk Cousins going rate of 4 years, $180 was better than the 2nd round they were having to give out to get Fields. And so I'm good with it, I guess, either way. I mean, I don't think Justin Fields is better than Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is a lot better as long as he's healthy. So.
James, I know your bathwater is probably getting a little cold over there. So you have any final thoughts about this this Falcons and the Falcons? Hey, they added some wide receivers too. We got rid of Desmond Ridder. We haven't even touched on getting rid of Ridder.
Shoot, we got a player for him.
Yeah, Rondell Moore. You guys remember Rondell Moore, the kid
from
Purdue. He was the kid that was out there when they had what was his name, Tyler, that was all over SportsCenter. Unfortunately, he passed away. He had that rare disease, and he was up in the stands, and that's when they beat Ohio State, and it was Rondell Moore out there.
Yep.
Kid's good. What do you think, James?
Yeah, I was going to say, all the receivers they got, I really liked, and kind of interests me with the Vikings getting that 2nd first-round pick to try to move up. I don't think they're going to be able to get in that top 5 range. I'm really interested in whether that 8 spot is a good spot for that 4th quarterback. So a team like the Vikings will trade from 11-8. We get a 23rd. We're not going to go for the big receiver. We want a pass rusher. I still think we get that, and then we can solidify any other points of need with 23. So that's what I would hope to do. I bet that's what they're working on right now, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Who do you think that quarterback will be at the 8th pick? Because maybe
McCarthy for the Vikings,
McCarthy or Drake May, if people start hating on him and he wants to fall to 4. But those 4 will be first rounders. And hey, if you really love Washington, Oregon quarterback, then at 23, that's a lot more palatable than with the top 10 pick.
James, I just want to say thank you so much for making my night, man. We were talking about it. We were like, he said he's going to show up in the bathtub. Did not think the bubbles and the rubber ducky were going to be part of it.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Truly, truly will go down in the history of some of the best here on UJSports.com. So,
well, what
and
I really
lights on top of it.
At your performance review with Roddy, I hope you show this and like, this is the product that we're bringing to the people right here.
Paul away. Or not. I mean, this may be an OnlyFans type of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the closest we can get to nudity on this channel. So we appreciate it, James.
You're going to be contacted for content after this.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, James Caraway, man, we appreciate it so much. And I hope you're so awesome. Hope your rest of your bath goes well, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Dude, just incredible.
That's just unbelievable.
So you guys can't see it because you don't have access to StreamYard, but I can see when people join in, right? Because you want to make sure you're not getting like bots or spam or anything like that. And you can also see
and like hacking dudes in the shower or whatever.
Yeah. It pops up a little tiny, tiny box. And I just split second looked down and I saw him in the bathtub and I was like, oh my God, he's full on in the tub, man. And man's taking a bath. So props to him, man. He said he was going to do it and I appreciate it.
I thought weird. He was going to just be sitting in the tub.
I did too. I mean, bubbled up, rubber ducky.
That's awesome.
Beer in the tub. It's just unbelievable.
We got Hunter Lacey. What's going on? Alex Page is here with us tonight. We got
Alex.
We got Paul Galbraith says, I don't think the Falcons will go after a future QB unless the perfect scenario pops up because they are trying to win now. So I like what James brought up right there at the end, because I think we talked about this earlier this week and brings up a good point, because Minnesota just went and got the 23rd overall pick. They traded a bunch and now they've got two first rounders, and you can kind of see the writing on the wall that they want a quarterback. They have to get a quarterback now. Yeah. And so the Falcons would be in prime position at 8, because if you keep looking at these mock drafts, there's 3 quarterbacks, 3 wide receivers going top 6. And then you got that Joe Alt kid, the tackle from Notre Dame. Yeah. You got Brock somewhere kind of in there a little bit in some places. The Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, you can get them pretty much from 8 to 11.
Yeah. I think so too, yeah.
So let me ask you guys a hypothetical here. If you're the Falcons, and I wouldn't do it until draft day because you just don't know, I don't think.
Right.
But you're sitting there. It's pick. It's your pick. You're on the clock. Jared Verse and Dallas Turner are still there. You get a call from Minnesota. Hey, we want to move up because we think 9 or 10 is going to draft McCarthy or whoever, right? It's probably going to be McCarthy, but whoever. We'll give you 11 and 23. Are you doing that?
Is Joe Alt still available? Is Joe
Alt? No, Joe was taken 7th.
Okay.
So you get the 11th pick and the 23rd pick in the first round, and you only fall back 3 spots.
You fall back 3 spots, and Dallas Turner and Jared Verse are still available.
You can't say yes fast enough.
You rip that out of their hand, and you take it to the podium before they
absolutely.
Yeah, you've got
it. So Alex Page says take Turner at 8. Don't trade it. Dogfather says yes every time. I think you take that because it is a risk.
Pick up a pick. That's huge.
Sure, but it's 3 spots.
There is a risk, though. There is a risk in that because you're moving down 3 spots and you've got 2 guys you really have your eye on. And who knows? They could have eyes on more than 2 guys, right?
Right.
But for this hypothetical scenario, those are the 2 guys they want. They could be taken before 11, but again, you're still at 11 and then 23rd.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of
who's 9 and 10. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, Andy.
I was going to say, Andy, get us there.
What are their needs?
Because I'm pretty sure one of those teams wants a quarterback.
Yeah.
So they have to move. Minnesota has to move up.
So okay, you're saying so Minnesota. Go ahead.
Sorry, you have Andy. The ninth pick is the Chicago Bears. The 10th pick is the New York Jets. And they have both of them taken wide receiver.
The Jets aren't taking Verse or Turner, I don't think.
No, so they have
defenses.
They have the Falcons taken. This is a CBS mock draft. They have the Falcons taken Verse at 8, and they have Dallas Turner falling down to 14th to the Saints.
Oh, so,
Alex Page says some mocks have the Vikings trading with the Chargers. That could make a little. I don't think once the top three quarterbacks are gone, though, you might could sit.
Yeah, you could sit. Yeah, that'd be crazy to do that. McCarthy's not going that fast. I don't think.
Right.
This has McCarthy going third to the New England Patriots.
Where's third? Where's Jaden Daniels or Drake May then?
Okay, so they have Caleb Williams first, Jaden Daniels second, McCarthy third. Then they have Marvin Harrison fourth to the Cardinals. They have May going fifth to the Vikings. And then they have Penn State offensive tackle, whatever you say his name, Fashi.
Yeah, I mean, but York. You don't. If you're the Vikings, I feel like you don't have to trade up to five to get him. You can just.
I agree. Well, I think that's a reach.
Let's see. Jermaine King's in the building. What's up, JK? He says, do that and watch the Saints trade up and take Turner just to stick it to Atlanta. And then he says, I'm kidding. Awesome. Yeah, you want to get Eddie's blood pressure going, JK? Start talking about the Saints.
Oh, my God. I hate him.
Yeah. And James says, it's a threat of the other teams trading up that scares the Vikings. Totally agree. I get it. Yeah. Because there are some other teams further back than them that could trade up, too. Dogfather says, I feel like Denver is the more likely trade partner. Where's Denver at, Andy? It would take Minnesota giving up both first rounders and their second to go up that far.
Denver's not in the first round.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they lost their first round, right?
I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
You would have to trade first rounds for the next 6 years to do that.
Don't give me that.
All of this being said, it sounds like Falcons are in a good position at eight. That's the crazy thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that
we've gone,
we really might be in a good spot.
We've gone from hoping to, man, this could really, this draft, if they get this draft right, we're looking now, the playoff odds change drastically once Kirk Cousins signed with the Falcons.
That goes back to the crappiness of the division. That's all that.
Well, yeah, but the Falcons are now negative 105 to win the division.
Right.
I think the Saints and the Bucks are like plus 300 each. So odds changed directly in their favor. Now they signed Darnell Mooney.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't huge on that, but then folks smarter than me said, look, he's almost a clone of Jordan Addison. And we saw what Jordan Addison was able to do with Kirk Cousins as a rookie.
Denver is 12th. Sorry. Denver is 12th. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
These drafts must have had him trading out then. Yeah, Denver's 12. Yeah.
I could maybe take that. You could
go back to Darnell Mooney. I'm curious why
you didn't like this. Because when they announced it, Darnell Mooney, if either one of you guys play fantasy football religiously like I do, he's always a sleeper pick. He's always the guy that you want to try to pick later in rounds, then he can have a blowout season. He hasn't in the past couple, though. And last year, 31 receptions on 61 targets.
Wasn't he hurt?
Right at 51.
Wasn't hurt at all last year?
I don't know. I didn't watch the Brayers.
Well, no, wait. If you're a fantasy nerd, then you should know that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I also have the brain of a goldfish, Eddie. I don't remember what I had for supper yesterday.
Well, you're probably not very good at fantasy football.
Wow. I made it to the playoffs this year, Eddie.
Oh, congratulations.
Who's your quarterback?
Guess who cares? You and no one else. Who cares about your fantasy football team?
Yeah, you've told me that many times. I appreciate that. Alex Page says, but he played for a struggling offense. I get it, but he also only caught 50% of the passes that were thrown to him. Yeah. So that's what got him.
2 years ago, he had over 1,000 yards.
He did. But that's what soured me, okay? I was soured by that. And then I started watching Paul is greater than Arthur Smith. Yes, I made the playoffs. You're exactly right, Dogfather. Damn right. Garrett says, wow, Eddie coming in hot on Paul. Let's don't hype him up too much. Yeah, okay, really. Garrett.
Okay, and Eddie, you're taking over.
Weekly. Yeah.
That's what soured me. But then I started seeing other guys on Twitter, things of that nature, saying, hey, this guy is pretty much a Jordan Addison clone. So that's what made me a little bit more excited. Rondell Moore, I'm a big Rondell Moore fan.
Yeah.
Huge fan of him in college, and thought he did all right out there with the Cardinals. What's your take on the offense now? It's a whole lot different than when we talked last Sunday, guys.
Oh, yeah.
What's your take on it now?
I think it's explosive. I think you got guys that are actually fast. Like, you got guys that can take the top off, and that's something we haven't had in the outside positions. Because Drake London is not a number one. Drake London is not very fast, and I mean, he's at best a two. So I think we have somebody that can – run, some speed on the offense instead of what we've been doing.
It's changed completely, Eddie. It's changed, and it's changed, like you said, it's changed the way that they look at drafting as well.
Well, there was a Twitter post that came out this week that said something about Darnell Mooney and the accuracy of the targets that were coming to him and how basically Justin Fields wasn't getting it done accuracy-wise. And Kirk Cousins is very accurate, and that's going to help Darnell Mooney, okay? And he's a two. All right, he's not a one. It's not like we're relying on this guy. He's the two, okay. And Ray Ray, like you said, I'm excited about him.
I forgot about Ray Ray McCloud.
Yeah, Ray Ray McCloud coming in. So, you know, I think they've made some great cheap moves, if you want to call it that, to get some wide receiver depth, and that's what we needed because we only had one guy on the roster that was signed. Pitts, he's a tight end, whatever. He was signed, but. It was Drake London, and that was it. That was the only signed wide receiver. So we've actually got some depth, some speed there, and they kind of did it on the cheap. So I'm excited about that. And now, like I keep saying, at eight, they don't have to draft a wide receiver, and I do not want to see that. I don't want to see a wide
receiver. You don't need one there.
Right.
So Brock Bowers is there. You don't take
that. No, I mean, my heart wants him, but we don't. It's just not a good pick right now.
I'm waiting. Jim Perkle over on the X Machine says, bracket Sunday in a dismal baseball opener, and I'm just impressed y'all are covering the Falcons. Who knew the Falcons would be the highlight? Hey, man, you want to talk about bracket Sunday? There's nobody to talk about. Well, you want to talk about everybody, you know, the rivals getting in? You know, and then the baseball. We'll let Andy touch on that a little later on the show. Wasn't a great opening for the Dogs, but we'll get to that. We will get to that, Jim. Alex says, appreciate Eddie with the reference to a deep dive tweet. Was it Alex's tweet?
It may have been Alex. I'm sorry.
He's kind of low key, passive aggressively.
Retweeted it though, would be my guess. So,
wow.
I don't think he deserves full credit.
Wow.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, put it up there.
James Caraway says, I'll push back on Andy saying Drake is not a number one. He's not really a number one with terrible QB play. I
disagree. I think that bathtub's getting to his head.
He is not a number one at all. No.
You don't think so?
No, God, no.
You don't think he could be a number one next year? A legit number one?
No. Kirk Cousins. He may be the number one on the team, but it doesn't mean he's a number one.
So number one would entail that he's one of the top 32 wide receivers in the league, right?
No, it means he may be the number one on the team.
That's what it means.
But no. It's
that means he could go to any other team and be the number one, technically.
Julio Teheran was the number one for the Braves for years, but he wasn't an ace. Same thing. So he may be the number one on the team, but he's not a legit number one receiver.
So Drake London, I just want to look up his stats real quick, just so we're on the same page. Last year, 69 receptions, 905 yards. He only had two touchdowns, so that might be what's fogging your memory.
And he's not 95
either. 905 yards, though, is 34th in the league.
So if by your stats, that means he's still number two. But
who was throwing to him?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. So this next year, I think he definitely is getting over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think that's a stretch.
No.
And I think Pitts is going to shine too, finally.
Man.
He hasn't shined since Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's a legit quarterback. It's the last time Pitts had one.
Well, Garrett agrees with you, and he says he doesn't think he's the number one either. James Caraway says he can develop into a Michael Pittman. Is Michael Pittman a number one, though?
I don't know. Are you?
Dogfather says, I think the potential to be a number one is there. We just didn't see it with Ritter throwing the ball. Yes. Alex Page, Drake can grow into a number one. No one thought Roddy White would be a number
one. That's right.
Roddy White had that explosion. I like Roddy coming out.
He had that dog in him, too.
He did.
Explosion. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see it. This is going to be what, his third year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Third year, first year with a legit quarterback. First year he had Mariota, then a little bit of Ritter. Last year he had Ritter and Heineken.
Yeah, Mariota's terrible. I'll give you that.
So I agree with you, Andy. I'm not trying to crush on you here, crush your dreams.
That's not my dream. I think I don't like the guy. So no, you're not crushing my dreams at all.
I agree. He hasn't been a number one. I think he could make that step this year, though. Now I'm not saying he's going to turn into Justin Jefferson because he has Kirk Cousins is a scorer.
He's not.
I hope he turns in great. I hope he ends up great. I just don't see it. I mean,
well, you know, just like you didn't see Bryce Elder. And
that's okay. Once again, it doesn't matter. You don't have to have a Julio Jones to be a Super Bowl team. You don't. Okay. If you got some complimentary pieces, you can make a run.
Okay. So let me, Chris Adams over on Facebook says, go Dogs. What's up, Chris? Glad you're watching the show, man. So with that being said, Eddie, let's pivot. Do the Falcons have enough pieces now? Now, because for the most part, I want to say, unless they take maybe a third or fourth round wide receiver, right?
No, I'm going to talk to you after the draft. I got to see a guy at the gym. It's funny you asked that because I had a long conversation with a guy who's a Raiders fan. It was like,
you just had to throw in at the gym, though? You had to throw in that you work out?
That's where I was. What do you want me to say? You want me to lie? I was at breakfast. Do you want me to say that? Would that be better, Paul?
Yeah.
I was at the gym. Yes. Okay. That's what I do with my life sometimes. Anyway, this guy's a Raiders fan, and he was like, hey, are you excited about the picks the Falcons have made? I was like, yeah. I mean, they made some really good picks. And he said, I agree with you. It's the same type of thing. I'm impressed with what they've done so far. It's been impressive, and he's a Raiders fan. He's standing away looking at what the Falcons have done, okay? He said, how far are they going to go? And I said, I don't know. I will tell you after the draft.
The offense looks complete though.
No, it's not complete by any means.
So what I'm getting at here, are they going to add another big time guy that's going to get quality snaps?
No, it's not going to be big time guys, okay?
That's what I'm saying. So for the most part, your most of your snaps, 95% of your snaps are on the team now, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Probably on offense, I would agree with you. Yes. Right.
I'm not saying defense, on offense. Okay. So are you excited about the pieces that have been added on the offensive side of the ball? Because that's probably going to be the most vast majority of what we see is already on the team.
You add one more offensive lineman, then I'll be excited. You need one more.
On offense. What position are you wanting the offensive lineman?
I mean, a guy that's versatile, Andy. I mean, we need a guy. I think the guard play has probably been a little lackluster. We probably need somebody on the inside.
Yeah.
But you're okay with the playmakers?
Yeah, the playmakers I'm fine with. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm okay with them because we have a quarterback who can throw darts finally. Darts.
Yeah.
Wait. Hold on. This is Paul Meharry, who every time we brought up Kirk Cousins is like, yes, Kirk Cousins. And now he's questioning it. This is your guy.
No, I'm not questioning Kirk at all.
Yes, you are. That's exactly how you sound.
No, I'm questioning the extras.
The skill players around him.
Right. So after Kirk.
But wait a minute. Let's pause here for a second. You got all these playmakers, okay? If the quarterback can't get the ball to them, who gives two shits? And that's what we've had for 2 years running. Your guy is signed. He's the best quarterback that was available free agency-wise, and you're questioning it, Paul? Come on, Paul.
I'm questioning it because I'm just curious who steps up behind London at wide receiver. I Darnell Mooney, Rondell Moore,
I just think you're nitpicking to nitpick, and I think it's stupid.
I really think those three guys, they don't move the needle for me that much. Now I'm not to say that Kirk Cousins can't make them better wide receivers than what we've seen Darnell Mooney, because he's had Justin Fields, one of the worst deep ball throwers, and he's a deep ball receiver. That could completely change. What I'm saying right now, after Kirk, I wasn't fully impressed on the wide receivers. Not to say they're bad.
Okay, Andy, before we bring you in, Paul, who would you have signed? GM, Paul Meharry. What would you have done instead of the wide receivers we brought in? What would you have done?
Probably the same thing, because the rest of these wide receivers are getting too much money. Calvin really got a ton of money.
Yeah, he did.
So you're having to find, you know, guys that are on deals, that are on make it deals. So
they did the right thing based on what they had.
Yes. But what I'm saying, can both those be true though? They did the right thing, but I'm also not fully moving the needle yet just on those guys. Can both of those things happen?
Okay, so let me ask you this, though. Because we gave the quarterback as much money as we did, that kind of – obviously that money, you know, it makes it tougher.
It was only $25 million this year, right?
$25 this year, but the salary cap is not you know, it's not great right now. So you weren't able to go out and sign a legit number one. Again, I don't even know if there's a legit number one wide receiver out
there. I don't think there was. I mean, you could maybe say Calvin Ridley, but Calvin Ridley.
Okay, but so would you have rather had, would you have made the trade to get Justin Fields and then sign Calvin Ridley as a number one and to go along with Drake London, or would you rather have Kirk Cousins? And
Scenario two.
Much rather have.
Okay, so that's the thing. I mean, so.
So that's what we did.
So we kind of got the best of what we could do in this offseason. That's
exactly right. Exactly so, right.
Okay. I think, I mean, again, you know, like we had talked about, we wanted to get Justin Fields just because of the draft capital that, I mean, just because of the salary demands. But if you look at it that way, I mean, they kind of went out and got the best offseason they could possibly do. So, hey, I'm kind of excited about it.
I don't take this as the wrong way. I was at my office. And when the news happened with Kirk and all my guys were coming back in from the field and they're like cussing up a storm. Dude, we got Kirk Cousins. I'm like, this is the – I was
– cussing up a storm in a negative way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why? Like, why?
I've seen a lot of negative comments.
Because they're like, oh, his Achilles isn't good.
The age and the injury, right?
Right. Okay. Right. I'm like, dude, this is the best thing since sliced bread. Like, this is by far well and above – what anything could have been with Justin Fields here. And then it happened, right? Justin Fields got traded, and he got traded for a 6th-round pick that could potentially be a 4th-round pick if he plays. But I think the Steelers have already said, have they not, that Russell's the starter? I feel like I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, I think
oh, they did. They did officially say that.
I don't know if it's been officially said. Yeah, I don't know. That's the talk around camp is that it's Russell's gig, and then Fields can learn underneath him. A 6th-round pick is a whole lot different than what we were thinking. We were arguing 3rd rounds. Andy even said potentially a 2nd, if that's where the market will take us.
Well, that's
like, and we were thinking about it. We were like, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If the Chicago Bears would have taken a 3rd-round pick, he would be a Falcon right now. I promise you. If they
You're right.
Yeah, the mismanagement by the Bears front office, and I saw a ton of trades that they've done. Somebody put a great list on Twitter of all the trades Ryan Poles, he's the Bears GM, has done since he's gotten there. There have been some good ones. There have been some terrible ones too, though. Chase Claypool for a 2nd-round pick, which ended up being the 32nd overall pick. There's a lot that they've messed up on. And holding on to Fields for too long and overvaluing him seems to have hurt them in the long run.
Well, if I had come on this show four shows ago, and I told both of you, here's my prediction. Desmond Ridder will be traded before Justin Fields. Y'all would have killed my mic.
And that's
what happened.
And also, Desmond Ridder would field you more value than
Justin. Exactly right. Yep.
Yeah. That there is crazy. Also, if you would have come on 4 weeks ago and said, hey, guys, you can have Justin Fields for a 6th-round pick, I think Andy would have set his house on fire. He would have been so happy.
Oh, they went for a 6th-round pick, of course.
And I'd have done that in a 2nd. Absolutely.
Right. It's just it's totally different how all of this has evolved rather fast here in this NFL world, which is always fun, right? The free agency is fun. I did see, though, moving on from the NFL, we'll get to a couple more topics here, guys. I did see the Falcons only have like $4.5 million left in cap room.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't expect anything crazy. There might be some restructuring. I'm curious what they're going to do with that quarterback too.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they cut Heinicke, I don't know what the date is. Maybe it's after June, but they get $8 million back, right, from Heinicke. I think it's June. I don't know. But I think at this point they keep Heinicke as a backup because he knows the system. He knows the coaches. I think they do. I mean, I don't want him to because of the money.
Right.
But you do need a backup that is – can get you through a couple of games. And by the way, I'm going to throw this out. I heard D. Orlando Ledbetter, who covers the Falcons for the AJC, his feeling is that Kirk Cousins is not going to be healthy day one. He may miss 2 or 3 games.
Kirk has already said it'll be ready before summer camp. Like,
fine. I'm just telling you what he said. He thinks that there's a chance that he is not ready opening day. So
I would, Alex Page says Heinicke could take a pay cut and stay. I would be okay with that.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Maybe cut him down to $2 million. Say, hey, look, you can stay on an NFL roster here. You know, your family's here, but and you're from Collins Hill. Let's cut you down to $2 million and you stay here. But we need that $6 million back because we could go get a a veteran like linebacker, defensive end for 1 year, $6 million that could maybe, you know, do something for us. So curious there. Dogfather brings up a great point. Says, if you were the Bears, why don't you hang on to Fields through training camp? If there's an injury to a QB across the league, his value goes up automatically. Yeah, I guess
the Bears are stupid. They've been stupid with quarterbacks.
But I guess maybe they wanted Caleb Williams to not feel like he has to look over his shoulder. He can come in day one and start. You know,
I'm really fascinated by this draft, though. Is it really going to be Caleb Williams?
There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk, Eddie, that it might not be.
That's right. That's what I'm starting to think. I don't know that it's going to be Caleb Williams.
So I'm just curious. Oh, Andy just decided to leave us. We'll get him back. I think it's
computer. Did he say something stupid like I did?
No. He left on his own accord there. I didn't have to dump him like I do. Okay. All right. I am curious, though, because there is talks, right? Caleb Williams, his dad's in the mix a lot, won equity in the team. There's a lot that goes into him. And this is probably why they did it. Dogfather says, don't want the locker room split. Everything this year depends on the rookie. You have to roll out the red carpet. Yeah, if you keep Fields there, there's a ton of
and he gets right back on top. I mean, I see where I am. That's fine. I got it. That's okay.
He's a second.
It's fine. It's your show.
Sorry about that. My string guard just crashed on me. I don't know what happened.
That's a shame.
I lost my train of thought. There's a lot of I totally lost.
He's thinking about James in the bathtub. That's what he's doing.
Did he come back in the bathtub?
No. There's not a second. There's not a second bathtub dream from James here. So I lost what I was thinking. So there we go.
Well, we were talking about Caleb Williams at one and whether he was going
to. Oh yeah, his dad and he wants equity. He wants equity. Things.
But here's what I can't wrap my brain around. How do you honestly look at the situation that's out there with Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams? And Jaden Daniels won a Heisman Trophy. He played in the SEC. He led his teams to a lot of victories. Caleb Williams sat out, went 7-5, and acted like a bitch all year. Whoa. How do you do that? How do you – he did. Did he not?
Oh, he did, yeah.
Did you ever hear anything from Jaden Daniels that made you think, oh, this guy's not going to be a good NFL quarterback? Did he ever say anything you're like, oh?
No, but you also
– said numerous things you're like, oh.
Right, but you also look at Jaden Daniels and say, yes, his career progressed. We've known Caleb Williams was a stud since he was in high school.
Ninth grade, yeah. Like the Washington area.
He's a big-time quarterback that we've known.
Is he, though? Is he?
I think he is.
Did he will his talented. Team to wins this year? Did he will USC to wins?
Well, USC, their defense wasn't great either, Eddie.
Okay.
I think Caleb Williams
was LSU. Wait a minute. How was LSU's defense this year? It was garbage, from what I recall.
It was better garbage. than USC, though.
Not by much. They play in the Pac-2. We play in the SEC. Come on, Paul.
I love it. 42 minutes into the show, and now he got Eddie's blood pressure. You can see it in his.
Oh, my blood pressure's fine. I got it under control finally. Thank God.
Here we go. Yeah, those neck veins are coming out. He's.
You love it. You love doing that.
Speaking of neck veins coming out, Andy's neck veins are going to come out soon. If the Falcons, no, just kidding. Now, if the Braves don't do something with that left field, which they did. They brought in Adam Duvall.
And just remember, let's go back in time. I said, Adam Duvall is out there, and somebody on this show, and he's up in the top left corner, said, oh, let's just get Julio Franco too, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, he did say that. He did say that.
I just said, he's still out there. Just keep waiting. And what happened? He's back. Adam Duvall is.
He is.
I don't think Adam Duvall is 43 like Julio Franco was when we brought him back, right?
I think
Julio. Yeah, but he's damn close.
Yeah. He's no, close. He's not. No, he's
close. Duvall, Dogfather says Andy stays keeping receipts.
Yeah. His Dogfather is the receipt keeper, to be honest with you. Go follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. No, I like the move. I like the move. Garrett Key says, y'all see Kelenic spring ball numbers really bad. Yes. And also –
Can I throw in real quick here? I'm curious what y'all's thoughts are on this because I had a conversation with my son about this, who's a bigger Braves fan than I am. Was the Adam Duvall signing based on Acuna got injured? No. I'm doing quotation with my – wait a minute. Let me finish, damn it. Acuna got injured, went down. We got to have a backup in the outfield. Or was it a signing because Kelnick has been garbage thus far? Or was it a combination of the two? Y'all tell me.
I think it's probably because Kelnick.
Really?
Yeah. And
but they told Kelnick he's the starter and he's going to platoon, right?
So you answered your own question right there.
But he could platoon the Forrest Wall. Why do you have to bring Adam Duvall in? Because, oh, come on, Paul.
Lefty-righty. I think it's lefty-righty, and it's a home run option. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Forrest Wall, you talking about the guy we're bringing in the eighth inning to steal a base and then play defense?
He's tearing it up in preseason.
He's got the most home runs on the team right now.
He played in the most games because he has to show something to the team.
Hey,
that's part of spring training. That's how this works.
He's got what's his number? 74? I mean,
cool number, first of all.
So now it's numbers. That's what matters.
No, give him let's give him a legit number. Let's give him a number in the 20s, then we can talk about him. He's running around out there in left field with number 75 on, and we're like, oh, he's gonna be our starting left fielder wearing 75 and out there, picking daisies or something.
He's hitting home runs. That's what he's doing. And he's taking spots out of the lineup from Jared Kelnick because he can't hit.
Look, I will say this. I remember when Kelnick was a huge prospect.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel for him because as much as they say the pressure
is not. It's a lot of pressure. It is.
As much as they say the pressure is not on him, I feel like he's the only spot in the lineup that's not, locked in, right?
Yeah.
He gets called in. You're coming from an organization that is rebuilding to an organization that is – You talk to anybody in the locker room, and our reporters did. Now, our Atlanta reporters did. World Series or bust,
right?
That's what everybody's saying. So you leave a team that there's not a ton of expectation on you. To now you have to come over here, and you're a starting everyday left fielder for the Atlanta Braves. There's some harsh, truth to that, and some, tons of pressure on you to compete. So I feel for him. I hope that maybe he can get out of his own head a little bit and come back to, who we thought he was going to be when the Braves signed him or traded for him. But I also agree that, yes, you going to get Adam Duvall for $3 million and having him, even if he's there to talk to Kelnick, for $3 million, it's a steal. Duvall,
he's a cult hero in Atlanta.
Right.
Atlanta loves him and he loves Atlanta. So why not?
Right. Right. I'm very happy that Duvall is here as much as I said, let's go get Julio Franco.
I think your point is legitimate, Paul. He's coming over and everybody's like initially, well, he's going to have no pressure on him because he's coming to a World Series type of team. Right. And he had all that pressure out West. He had to perform. He was the guy. Everybody was relying on him and it didn't work out. So he comes here and I think he went the first couple of games. It was bad. And I think he's pressing now. He really is. He's pressing. I know it's preseason. It doesn't matter. But who cares about preseason? It doesn't matter. It does a little bit. It does a little bit. But
especially when I think
on opening day, Kelnick's going to be in left field. I do. Yep. And think about this. And I know Ozuna's a different player, but Ozuna was absolute garbage for three months last year?
We all
wanted him out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. And our Snicker, like he does, he's loyal to the guys. He hung with him, and Ozuna turned it around and helped carry us to the playoffs. Yep. Okay. He did. So there you go.
They've already basically announced that Kelnick will be playing the first two games, and because it'll be rights. And so that was, I saw an interview with AA, and he said that they told Adam Duvall, they were like, we need you for game three. So that's kind of like be ready for game three because they know he's going to have a shorter spring training. So, yeah. But just to top that off, Jared Kelnick has 42 at-bats in the spring. He only has three hits. He's hitting
seven. It's snowballed on him, and, I think it's one of those things you gotta do something. Yeah. A lot of talk in the comments about the fifth starter. I guess we can close the show off with that because when was the Braves' first game?
It is 11 days from today. It's a week from Thursday.
So I think who do they open up with?
They open up with the Phillies up in Philadelphia.
At Philadelphia, which is a wonderful job by Rob Manfred because it's probably going to be 10 degrees up there and it's going to be brutally cold. Great job, Rob. Yeah, don't open those in dome stadiums or in the South, you moron. What an idiot.
But it's coming down to the wire, guys, for that fifth starter spot. James Caraway says Elder's your fifth starter. Lopez is a reliever coming through.
Why? I know. The Michael, I'd like to get that bathtub boy back on here and say why.
Bathtub boy is crazy. Bathtub boy is insane.
That's it. That's what his name is.
He can go swim all night in that bathroom. I don't care what he is. He is
laps in that some bitch. I don't know that I agree with. Do you agree with that, Andy? Because I don't.
Oh, it's not. It's not true at all. He's wrong.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think Lopez is your fifth.
He said, "I told Andy it was never AJSS, but the most innings he has thrown a season is 90." And then we had
that wasn't a crazy prediction. I mean, AJ Smith-Shawver, we all kind of thought would go back to AAA, but I think Lopez is the fifth starter.
No, I did say that AJ Smith-Shawver had a shot at it if he had a good
shot. Had a shot.
I never said he was the fifth starter. So you're swimming in that tub, putting words in my mouth there, buddy. I said that Ronaldo Lopez was the starter. He's going to be the starter.
And dude, I can Andy. Andy went to that restaurant tonight and had the spicy wings, dude. He's
Hal got a fight at school. He got suspended too. So I'm a little hot right now. So
yeah. I like it.
No, that's wrong. I didn't say that. He's making that crap up. I never said that. So. I mean,
I've been venue on that. You did never say that. That's true.
His velo is 94, 95 because he's not, because he knows he's got to throw six innings instead of going out and throwing one inning. He can throw 98 if he wants. His velocity is not down.
So who is the fifth starter, guys?
Ronaldo Lopez.
I agree.
It's a done deal. Your boy Bryce Elder since the second half of last year, he has thrown 80.2 innings. He has an ERA of 5.61. He's given up 50 earned runs. He's not the fifth starter. He may be the longer reliever, or he may be in AAA.
And I think it also goes back to what Alex Anthopoulos is building with this team to overcome the damn Phillies, because that's been our problem 2 years running, right? It ain't Bryce Elder. He's not the answer. The answer is guys that throw BBs, and Ronaldo Lopez can do that. Throw hard at Bryce Harper and get that son of a bitch out. That's what you got to do. Lopez is a fifth starter. Sorry, you're wrong about that, boy.
That's why they went out and signed Aaron Bummer, because he's a lefty.
Well,
I would love for it to be Bryce Elder, but that's a tough conversation.
I will say this. I would love for it to be Bryce Elder, too. I think in a perfect
world. I know why. Yes, we talked about that on Thursday, Andy, right?
You have Ronaldo Lopez in the bullpen. You have a guy coming out throwing 97, 98. Elder is not getting outs. And for everyone that says spring doesn't matter, that's such bullcrap, because you have got to get guys out. And I know those guys work on pitching, but if you're Spencer Strider, okay, Spencer Strider's dominating right now. He has not given up an earned run yet. Does that not matter? Does that mean he's going to go out and get shelled? I mean, you know, I would prefer Elder to be the fifth starter. I would love Elder to be the fifth starter. He's just not very good.
I don't know.
But you're saying that because of what it does for the bullpen. You're not saying that because you want Elder to win, because Paul thinks that, and that's what Paul wants. That's his boy, right?
James, I'm not getting in that swimming pool with you at all there, buddy.
Yeah, James says, Andy, don't puff your chest up unless you want to come swim with the big sharks. James, that swim pool is a little tight, it looked like. I don't know.
I will not be in that swimming pool with you.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any room. Real quick, guys, before we leave, Dogs did start spring practice. We're able to talk to Kirby Smart. And the one takeaway, before I say what the takeaway is that I found, any one takeaway that stood out for either one of you? It's okay if you say no.
Sorry, you broke up. Say that again.
Yeah, say it again.
Is there one takeaway that you guys took away from Kirby Smart and spring practice starting? Because there is one, but if you don't know what it is, that's okay. I will say it.
Well, the biggest thing I liked was what he was telling the recruits. If you're looking at your phone, you're not paying attention to my practice.
So that's a big one-liner, if you will.
Yes.
The injuries.
Yeah, there's none. Yeah.
So that's what I was going to say. It's like the walking wounded when he started the press conference. It was, but you know, what is it? March 17th. Yeah. I mean, you know, and a lot of these injuries, Paul, now I know what you're saying, but a lot of these injuries are like, okay, we'll clean this up. He'll be ready to go in the fall. Right. So that's what we're looking at. And happy birthday, Branson Robinson. I hope that knee gets back to 100% because we need your badass on the field this year.
Did you say fat ass or badass?
I said bad with a B. Come on.
Okay. No, but it it was alarming. Like
it was
tons of surgeries.
Now, were there things, Paul, because you guys are in the know, were there things you like, you and your group are like, whoa, that caught me off guard, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of surgeries that were like, whoa, those guys had surgery. But a lot of the times they keep those guys and, you know, they keep them going through the season, right? Yeah. And the off season comes, it's like, all right, we'll go clean that knee up.
Now, who makes that decision, Paul? Is that, I mean, there's doctors involved, there's players involved, there's parents involved, there's coaches involved. Who makes that decision to keep playing through an injury? How does that shake out? Does it ultimately come down to the player?
Well, I don't know if it ultimately comes down to the player, because a player is going to want to play through it almost every time. Well, there are certain circumstances where the player can, you know, either keep himself in or take himself out, right? Yeah. There's that. It happens more often taking himself out probably than keeping himself in. Like, I'm done. I don't really want to play on this. Right. I think Ron Corson is the one that looks at it and says, hey, we can let him go back out there and finish this season off. He's got two more games.
Because there's some things they can play through, right?
Right.
I mean, they can just play through it. Yeah.
Right. But you have to, I think you have to, in what you're asking me is you have to have the willingness from the player to play through and play through a little pain, as well as the training staff saying he can play through that pain.
Okay.
That happened a couple of years ago, right? There was
who are you talking about?
JT Daniels.
Ah, well. Well, what a way to end the show there, Andy.
I'm just saying, that was a big thing that was going on. So,
that did happen. Yes, so you have to have a willingness from the player to stay in and play through the pain. And you also have to have Ron Corson saying, yes, I'm allowing him to play through this pain. So it's kind of a mixture of both, if that answers your question.
It did.
But yeah, curious to see what happens in spring. Smile Munden's out, so it gives those linebackers in the middle – a little bit more reps. We got to see 20 minutes of practice, but you don't get to see a ton, but they also rep those practices. Normally, if you're watching the chart, if you will. So they're repping ones, go through the drill together. So CJ Allen and Raylan Wilson went through the drill together. So that was it's kind of surprising because Jalen Walker was behind him. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see where Jalen fits in. He's probably my one biggest question mark of this spring fall is to see how many snaps Jalen Walker can get, because there's no doubt that when he's out there, he's a force to be reckoned with. But there's also film out there where if you put him in certain positions, like run fit situations, he's not that great. So I'm curious to see how much he's the guy I'm, you know, going to be playing a closer eye on. So
I did see that one of the insiders posted, I don't know if I can say this legally, but they said that Ellis Robinson is that guy. They said he's that guy. So
yeah, he is. Dogfather said, loved it, guys. Have a great week. James, enjoy your bath. Bath, my friends. Best way to end your weekend.
You know,
guys,
let me ask y'all a question. When was the last time you took a bath?
Seriously. We have a bathtub here. I've never been in it.
When was the last time you literally got into a bathtub and soaked in your own filth for like 20 minutes and then got out and said, that was awesome? When was the last time you did it?
I don't take baths.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
it's so never, right?
Probably like,
I mean, when you were a kid, right? Yeah, your mom was bathing you. That's different.
Yeah. So like 17, 18. So
James has the problem. James has a problem.
No, I think he does.
Did look pretty relaxing. I'll give him that. That did look pretty relaxing.
So Calgon, take me away. I need to go upstairs and do that after this. Yeah.
You got the nine jet tub going and all that.
Could you imagine, Eddie? You walk upstairs, you walk right past Kelly. You're like, she's like, what are you doing, Eddie? And you just go get your ass in the bathtub.
She would divorce me, Paul.
Hey, tell Miss Kelly 9:30 tonight. You're going to see those dogs getting to the NIT. So guys, we appreciate you watching. Before you leave out, Jermaine King says, next week everybody on the show will be in a tub. Hashtag tub stream. No, hashtag tub stream is a crazy hashtag. I don't ever want that to be associated with this show ever again.
Awesome. Hey, give James some credit. That was fantastic.
No, that was one of my favorite moments we've had on the show for sure. So guys, we appreciate you so much. Before you leave out, make sure you hit a like on this video. If you missed any of the show, you can go watch a replay on YouTube, but we'll also have it on the podcast here in just a few minutes for you for your ride into work on Monday. For Andy Stowe, Eddie from Ackworth, I'm Paul Meharry. We'll be back with you next Sunday, 7:30. We'll see you then. Thanks for watching.